Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read in verse 41. We're going to read a little Bible story here. And it's fitting that I'm reading a little Bible story here, and soon you will discover why. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read in verse number 41. Luke chapter 2, in verse 41, reads like this. It says, "Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers." Let me just put some context here. When people go to festival, and even now, if you go over to Middle Eastern countries, when people are traveling to particular festivals like this, they, especially back in that day, Jesus' day, they traveled as a caravan. And so you'd have a lot of people traveling all in kind of one group, right, in one pack all together. So you'd have, it might be your family, but you know, your auntie's family and cousins and neighbors down the street would be traveling with you as well. And so it'd be kind of easy for a kid to kind of get lost in the crowd and for your parents to be like, well, okay, we're all traveling. He's somewhere here, right, in the pack. And so this is what we see here, right? When he didn't show up that evening, right, they assumed he was among the other travelers, but when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Verse 46 says, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search?" He asked, "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people." If you have something, leave it there in Luke chapter 2. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but I want to read one more passage that'll really kind of frame where we're going today in this message, and that's Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. If you're in Luke, just hang a left back one chapter, one book in your Bible, and you'll run into Luke, excuse me, to the right, into Mark, excuse me, into Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look in verse number 13 as well. You should know, I put all my notes in the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app that you can find on your phone. All the announcements are in there. It's a little brown Bible. If you've never used it before, you certainly can use it to your ability to kind of check out the message, the notes from this week. But as well, I leave them in there all week, so that you can go and you can see them for yourself. And when you pull up, they kind of pull up like this, and it has all my notes, and you can see announcements and things in there. Man, use that to your advantage. I encourage you to study on your own. Don't just take my word for anything. Look at the word for yourself. Amen? Amen. All right, Mark chapter 10, verse 13 says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them." The disciples rebuked them. "And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant." Jesus was a little upset. "And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.' Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. And he blessed them. I'm preaching a message today from this home series entitled For His Kids. For His Kids. Bow your heads, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your word is true, that your word is for us. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us to come into your presence today to experience and feel you today. God, I thank you for your spirit, Lord, that abides in us. Lord, I pray that you would allow your spirit, allow him to take over in this moment, that I won't be speaking, but that he will speak through me a word that will challenge and encourage us in you, in our relationship with you, and what we're called to do, and the purpose that we have as your church. Lord, look upon your people now with favor. Lord, let your river of love stream down into our lives, Lord, that we would be able to speak presently and in the future always of your goodness and of your kindness to us, for you are faithful. Lord, let this word come alive in us today that we might see you and know you fully and continue to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, we all pray together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Every parent, and I am a parent, every parent that's been a parent for a while, if you're of your salt, right, you've kind of earned your stripes as a parent, you've been parenting for a good season, maybe you're even in grandparent mode now. Every parent, whether your kids are biological, whether they are fostered or adopted, every parent grows to, you grow to understand one kind of overwhelming, terrifying truth. It's that your kids are a reflection of you. Let me say that again. As a parent, whether your kids are biological, adopted, fostered, whether you're a grandparent, you've definitely seen it now, but you should know that your kids are a reflection of you. Now, that will either make you smile or grimace. Good or bad, happy or sad, up or down, kids are a reflection. If I can put it this way, they're like a mirror of who you are. The little mirrors are the reality of who you are. And I feel like God did that, A, because God has a sense of humor, and I feel like this is the way that he shows us that he has a sense of humor, is by making these little jokers look and kind of reflect us, right? But I feel like God did that so that we could understand the full capacity of all that we can be. I feel like God gives us a facsimile of ourselves so that we can, even at the age that we have them, recognize, you know what? There's still more life and potential left in me. There's still more purpose in me for me to fulfill in my life. And not only that, he's also provided us another opportunity to see that reality manifested and completed in somebody else that looks like us. Kids are a reflection of who we are. And I believe that God wants us to see that and to understand that purpose. And Philippians 1:6 kind of echoes this. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. So something that he started in you, whatever he's doing in your life, he who began a good work in you will do what? He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There's sometimes where you have people that feel like, well, man, I just want to hold everything to myself, and they really don't even want to share anything with their kids. They don't necessarily want to pass anything down. But I feel like the Lord is saying for us, actually, I'm giving you all this so that in case, man, you come and you abide with me, that actually your journey, your purpose, your goal, your work is going to carry on through that little joke or that little person that looks like you and that reflects you. And so maybe you didn't accomplish or you haven't accomplished everything that you've wanted to in your life, but the Lord has given us a reminder of all that he actually wants to do in us and the purpose that he wants to fulfill in our lives. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. Sometimes it feels like a gift you want to return, but children are a gift from God. We've been talking over the last few weeks about our reasonable response, to all that Christ did. And I feel like if our reasonable response to his finished work, for us being his body, being the kingdom of God, being the local church, if that purpose in us is to give God the glory, if that's what this we're supposed to be doing as this collective is giving God the glory, then kids are a reflection of the reality of who we really are right now. But also, right, they help us to understand the full capacity of all that we can be. Man, you know what? Yes, I'm giving God the glory in me, but I'm actually hoping to build and set up something even greater that will make it easier and better for them to give God the glory. And man, I want to set something up in my life and give God the glory so much in my life that this child reflects the glory even more than maybe I did in my life. Maybe there's something more that I can set them up with or leave them with or build in them that will actually allow them to understand their own purpose and in Christ and to give God the glory even at an early age. That's something that the Lord wants to see manifested and completed. Not only in us, but in the generation that's coming after us, that's already here. And that means we should be doing everything in our power to show kids that they are welcome home. Yeah. We've been talking about that, about going into the world and making sure that we're finishing the work of Christ and that we are being his body and welcoming people home. But I feel like sometimes we overlook the opportunity that's actually in our house. There's an opportunity in our home to actually welcome home people that will give God the glory and that will actually make a greater impact than we ever had. And sometimes we overlook them, but I believe that we should be showing kids that they are welcome in Christ. Pastor Kevin, why are you preaching about this today? I told you, we've been talking about, man, the vision of our church. Where are we going as a ministry? Where do we desire to go? I believe that in kids, in even younger, older kids, that the Lord is giving us an opportunity to see, okay, man, you did some things okay, but maybe there's some more that I need you to look at to understand what I'm trying to do. Man, maybe there's something in this next person that looks like you that I've been trying to work out in you, but actually may not be completed in you, but I'm gonna complete it through them. And I'm gonna start it in you, and I'm expecting you to build it. I'm expecting you, and I'm holding you accountable and responsible for building something and getting it started that actually might be completed through that one that's gonna come after you. And it takes a very unselfish heart to do that. Every parent will tell you, the one major thing that you learn in marriage and kids is how to be unselfish. It takes an unselfish person to clean a nasty diaper. Come on, I should get an amen from the parents right there. That requires you to be unselfish because every part of you is like, oh, I don't want to do this. Nothing, there is no gene in you that wants to fulfill that goal or that mission. Nothing. I don't care who you are. Oh, dirty diaper. I'm so, nobody says that. It takes an unselfishness in all of us, right, to do that. And sometimes when we see ourselves reflected in little people, and I have a little one that reflects a whole lot of me, but when we see it in them, we actually should be seeing another opportunity to give God the glory. And so we should be doing all that we can to welcome them home. We should be doing everything in our power to show kids that they are welcome home in this local body as well. And we should be showing kids that they're welcome at home in him. And what do we say? That they are desired guests as well as us. that they are desired guests as well as everybody else that'll walk through that doors. And that them being home, them understanding their purpose in Christ, them living for the Lord, that and them being a part of this body is agreeable and it's pleasing to God. And it should be pleasing to us as well. We actually should be rolling out the red carpet for kids. Amen. That when they come and they feel like, this is for me? Wow, you got toys in there for me? Man, I get to hang out with some other kids and learn about God in here. And you got cookies and snacks and I get candy every once in a while. That's how we should view ministry to kids. That's how, when kids walk in, that's how they should be able to view what we do. Not just in this church, but in all the churches, in the body of Christ. That we would actually be welcoming to kids. We need to have that perspective. Why? It's because Jesus had that approach and he had that perspective with kids. Let me show you. Read it earlier, Mark 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. For them, for Jesus to bless them. But look what happens. The church, the body of Christ, did what? They rebuked them. Rebuked people from bringing kids to Christ. And when Jesus saw this, what happened? Jesus wasn't thrilled. He wasn't apathetic about it. He was angry. And he was upset. He was indignant. That's what that means, if you didn't know what indignant means. He was upset. And he said to them, hey, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God actually belongs to these little reflections of you. You think it belongs to you. And yes, you are his child, but actually it belongs to those who are in this age range. It belongs to them. God's home is for his kids. The most important thing that we will ever do as a ministry doesn't happen in here. It happens back there. As great as I might teach on a stage, or as great as the worship team may be, or how well production runs the service, you know what's more important than that? Everything that happens back there. Us teaching those kids about the truth of who God is, us showing them their identity in Christ, us raising them up to be followers of Jesus matters so much more. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And so that's why it has to be on us to be a part of making sure that that happens effectively. It's on us to make sure that we are rolling out the red carpet for kids, that we are showing them that the kingdom of God belongs to them. And to me, that means God thinks that they have the same rights, that they have the same privileges, and they have the same responsibility as well as anybody else in the body. Proverbs 27, 20-24 says this. It says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. What does that mean? At some point, things are going to be passed down. What are we passing down? Are we passing down something that is quality? Are we passing down good word and a good experience that they will then take and build up for the next generation? Are we thinking in those terms? Do we care enough in that way to be thinking about them? Building up the next generation, recognizing that our generation won't last forever. I'm a millennial. There's these Gen Z people. Who are you? Lets me know that my generation won't last forever. Gen X people, your generation didn't last forever. I'm just at the very top of millennials. Your generation didn't last forever. Boomer generation didn't last forever. It was great. Y'all the greatest generation. Hallelujah, hallelujah for it. Right, but it didn't last forever. Don't get it twisted, man. It's there. We need to continue to transition and prepare for the next generation. And so oftentimes kids are overlooked. They're pushed away. And they're not taken seriously, or they're rebuked all outright. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. And truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, Mark 10:14, will never enter it. And he took the kids in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Kids are a big deal to God. They're a big deal to God. So they have to be a big deal to us. And so our vision, what we endeavor to do as a ministry, is to create kids and young adult and student environments that are fun, that are engaging, that are understandable, that are relatable, that help us to disciple them and nurture their spiritual growth at an early age. We believe in teaching character. Character. What it means to follow Jesus. And also, very important, that we are teaching and instructing and displaying to them what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That they understand at an early age the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That they are not foreign to him and he's not foreign to them. But that they fully understand it. The reason why so many of us, so many of you sitting here now, the reason why you're sitting here right now is because someone took the time to nurture God in you at an early age. Someone took the time. I can think of so many people in my life. My first Sunday school teacher was my aunt Diane. And she was amazing. And she didn't have all the technology. She didn't have everything. But what she had was a passion for kids. My wife and I were actually kids pastors for about 2.5 years. We were kids pastors. And I'll tell you, before that, this message would have convicted me because I didn't have the right perspective on little people. You know why? Because I didn't have a little person yet. So when I saw them, I was like, okay, great. All right. You can go away now. Until I had one. And until I really began to allow myself and submit myself to be a part of their lives. And then I saw the beauty of what God was actually trying to do. And it was in kids ministry that I actually got my chops as a minister of the gospel, was teaching the kids. And I tell people, look, if you can teach kids, you can teach adults. Y'all actually a little bit slower than the kids. They pick up on stuff a little bit faster than me. I'm just letting you know. But what we did is we taught concepts. And sometimes people felt like, man, is this too grown? Is this too big for kids? No. And you know what we saw? We saw kids healed. We saw kids filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw kids that turned into disciples of their friends and even of their own family. And because the kids started coming and started getting excited about the things of God, then we saw the whole family transition into the church from one child. Luke 2:46, where it earlier said, 3 days later, they finally discovered Jesus in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And Jesus grew in three things. He grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. And he grew in favor with God. But notice why this happened is that he was welcomed in. The environment was so that he could come in and that he could actually ask questions and he could actually listen and figure some things out even at an early age. And he was taught even at an early age that that was important. And that's why he grew. Why? It's because he was welcomed home. Home is where kids can grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people. It's literally what we've been talking about when we're even trying to reach adults outside. A part of our vision is to take people that are far away from God and help them to foster a relationship with God and with God's people. That's literally the vision of our church. And isn't it amazing that that is what God has in mind for kids as well? That we would have, that he has that type of heart for them. And I love Jesus' response to his parents, and some people could view it kind of flippantly, that Jesus is kind of being smart with Mary, but he's saying, look, wait, didn't you know? Don't you know that even as a child, that my response to what God has done for me is to be in his house? Don't you understand that, man, I can't, yes, it's great to travel and I want to be with y'all, but I'm actually in the place where I'm going to grow in wisdom and stature and favor. That this is the place that we actually all should be, not just kids, that all of us really grow in wisdom and stature and favor in the Lord when we're in the house of God, when we're connected, not when we're away every moment that we can get, but we actually choose to be present in the presence of God. Home is the place where we're supposed to learn and understand our identity in Christ. I think about it this way. Many of us, and I know this is true, so many of us are still struggling with issues that began when we were kids. There's some things that you weren't supposed to learn at an early age that you learned at an early age. There's some lessons that were hard lessons that you weren't supposed to learn at 7. There was some abuse that happened among people at an early age, and it's still reaping its effect in your life. Why is that? It's because for many of us, we didn't learn our identity at an early age. And that's why it's still wreaking havoc in our lives now. We didn't understand the things of Christ. We didn't understand who the Holy Spirit was and how he can be a guide and a comfort for us even when we face temptation in our life. Sometimes we don't think kids have real problems. I'm somebody that can raise my hand and say, no, they actually do. But if they're never put into a position, if we never invite them into a place where they can learn and grow and be healed in Jesus, then we're setting up a new generation and a next generation that will undergo the same type of issues that we deal with right now. And I'm saying as a church, as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of the Almighty God, that we need to do something about that. That we have a responsibility, that we have a task to reach this next generation. It's not even next, it's now. We have a responsibility to help them and to disciple them and to guide them and to be there for them in a way that maybe wasn't there for us so that they can walk out their new life in Christ. The enemy seeks to devour them just like he seeks to devour us. The enemy tempts kids just like he tempts us. But if we can reach this generation, if we can help them to live for Jesus and help them to walk for Jesus and help them to talk like Jesus and help them to welcome people like Jesus, there would be so much more that they'd never have to struggle with. Proverbs 22:6, we all know this verse. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get older, what happens? They won't depart from it. As far as a lot of us church kids who grew up in this tried to get away, what happens? The Lord continues to draw you, continue to draw you back, just like he drew me back. And I'm saying, before they have to get to the place of being drawn back and being pulled out of the muck and the mire, as they say in the old days, out of the mess that we've all had to deal with, why don't we impart God in their life now? Why don't we do all that we can to make sure that their experience is amazing now? Matthew 10:42 says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, I love this, who is my disciple? Truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. That means when you input all that you are into these young people, you're not gonna lose you. Men, let me tell you, you will not faint and pass away if you're in a classroom for 45 minutes to an hour with some kids. I promise you. Sometimes that's what's lacking in church. It's all women back there. Come I need some dudes that are willing to say, hey, you know what? I can step up and be in kids ministry and it's not gonna kill me. But actually, some of those little dudes need some bass, somebody with some bass in their voice, be like, hey, and to help them. Okay, man, I need to sit down and focus while I'm in. Come on now. Sometimes that's all it takes is to, hey, little dude. But what are you doing? You're helping to set up discipline in their lives that some of them are lacking. My desire is that we'd reach this city and that people who don't even go to church would just be sending their kids into our kids ministry. That we create such an environment that they're like, I just want you to go here. I remember growing up in my family church and there were kids whose parents had no idea of going to church, but they would just show up on Sunday morning at our church door. And those kids now, some of them are preachers of the gospel now. Parents were crack addicts and drug addicted and on the streets and even homeless. But God saw fit to put them in an environment that changed their lives. And I believe it's on us to create that type of environment for kids that we're training them in the fundamentals of the gospel. Now we are helping them to establish their right position in the home. But it takes a right mindset. And I get why people don't, because a lot of people view kids ministry as babysitting. But it's not. Those kids get word back there. When we taught word. Kids ministry is kingdom building. It's what it really is. And our next generation of leaders at City Heart are already sitting back there. My next worship leader is back there somewhere. The next pastor of this church is probably back there somewhere. Are we going to do the work to feed into them and help them understand what they mean to God? There's a passage I love in Matthew, and it actually happens on the day of the triumphal entry, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. But obviously when Jesus comes into town and they're laying palms down and they're singing Hosanna, what happens after that is that Jesus goes to the temple. And I love this, what we see in the temple, Matthew 21, verse 14. It says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple. And he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were, oh, there's that word again, indignant. They were angry. Do you hear what these children are saying? Do you hear that they're calling out the name of God and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David? And Jesus says, uh-huh, yeah. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? Some of us, even as parents in here, there should be a check in us right now of even my wife and I have just been talking about this, of what we're pouring into our kids and making sure that we are discipling them and giving them what they need from the word. Yeah, it's great that they know how to change a tire and know how to do their taxes and know how to budget an account. But what about how to be encountered with the Holy Spirit? What about what it means to walk in character? What it means to follow Christ? That all of this is important. All of this is a part of us providing a nurturing environment for them. If we're not doing this work, then we failed. We have failed. If we're not showing them that they are a part of the body of Christ, then we have failed. And what happens when we fail? Then the reflection that we're going to see in them is someone that also was not going to do that work that we didn't do. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to pass that down to the next generation, to the person that's supposed to be a reflection of them, your grandkids. Kids are a reflection. They're little mirrors of the reality of who we are. so that we can understand the full capacity of all that we can even be now. God is giving us an opportunity to work on some stuff right now. There are some character things in our life that need to be worked on right now. There are some health things in our life, spiritual health things that need to be worked on right now. There's some experiences and some activities and some vices that we're engaging in that we need to work on right now. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." The Lord is desiring us to incline. It means you're leaning in, inclining our hearts to him, to what he commands, so that it's not just done in us, but that our kids will carry it on forever. The things that we have made a decision to do, when we make the decision to live right, it's not just in us, it carries on through them forever. What we choose to do now, how we choose to live out being home now, is going to be what they live out in their lives forever. And if we start to live it now, what happens? Man, they're going to start to reflect the amazing character that we start to display in our own selves. That they're going to start following Jesus the way they see us following Jesus. They're going to see us experiencing the Holy Spirit and being open to him the way that we are. When we choose to do that, they're going to choose to be a part of this thing, this experiment called home, when we choose to be a part of it. When we choose to give of our time and our talent and our treasure, they'll say, "You know what? Hey, can I come with you to church? Can I be there? Man, can I help set up chairs? Man, can I help put some papers down on the chair to see what it is that I can do, even at an early age?" That's how I grew up. I was so blessed to have a mom that always had me in church. I had no other option. But I'm so thankful for it now. I know she's watching right now. I'm so thankful for her right now. Why? Because I could count on my hand the number of times. My grandmother was a pastor, so we had to be there anyway. But I could count on my hand the number of times that I wasn't in church as a child. And I learned at an early age how to serve. I played drums in church from the age of 5 and had to sing in church just about every week. And we were there, we had to learn, I had to clean up in church. And sometimes we feel like, oh, that's too much for them. Or no, it starts that early. That training and guiding needs to start then. And you know what? The reason why I am who I am now is because of what I learned then. The reason why I'm able to live the way I'm able to live now and teach the way I am able to teach now is because of what was placed in me at an early age. I grew in wisdom, and I grew in stature and in favor with God and all the people because of what was placed inside of me. Sometimes we can think, and I'm ending here, sometimes we can think, and I've seen this attitude that everything is supposed to be just for the adults. Every activity, every single thing is supposed to be just about us or for us. Kind of what the disciples were talking about in Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They were sizing each other up. Jesus, is it me? Am I the greatest? Man, is it John? Is it all these guys? Man, who is the greatest? And you know what Jesus did? He called a little child to him. And he placed the child among them. And I can probably guess the expression on their faces. "Jesus, what are you doing?" And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position." What is the lowly position? A servant. A servant. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is actually the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I love this last line. And he says, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. As we look into the reflection of a child, the question that we should be asking is, Lord, what needs to change in me? What is it that needs to change in you today? What is it that needs to change in you? Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you're hearing this and like, ooh, I'm glad I don't have kids. Maybe that's you right now, but maybe you're on that path. You're thinking about getting married. I won't look over here. You got a lot of people thinking about that right now over here. Maybe you're on that path and you're, and man, you're thinking, okay, what is it that I need to do? It's the question, what needs to change in you? What about all of our attitudes, whether you have kids or not? Maybe you're in the grandparent mode, or maybe you're just in church at this time and you're single and you're serving, or maybe you're not serving. You're saying, man, what needs to change in me? I believe that Christ is telling all of us that our perspective and our attitude needs to change. How we're living needs to change. Places that we go to might need to change. How we behave outside of these doors needs to change. Home is for his kids, for all of us, but especially for those young people. I believe that God has given all of us a chance, and really he's asking us to reflect and look into our lives to see what needs to change, that we would really reflect his home. Bow your heads, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.